Hey everyone, welcome back. And as we watch stuff number 204, this one will not be auto posted. My name is Jeremy. Joining me as always is Shahid. What's going on, man?
Nothing much. Hope everyone's enjoying themselves this week. I finally got my water heater in, so now we just gotta install it.
Yeah, why are you buying a new water heater? The house isn't that old.
What they gotta do with the water heater? The house is not that old, and apparently water heaters are supposed to last 7 to 10 years. We have two. One of them has been acting up for the past few months. So,
wow.
Time to refix it.
We think ours was stolen, and it's still working just fine. I've told you about that, right?
No.
All right, so you know where they put, like, the serial number and, like, manufacturer information, all that stuff? That's gone. It's literally cut out, and they replaced it with a different piece of metal. Mm-hmm. And it passed inspection, so I'm like, I didn't steal it, so I don't care. And like even the guy was, he's like, yeah, they probably just went around to where like one of these apartment buildings that they're building, just took it, cut it off, and just put it in here instead. I'm like, holy shit. Okay, I never thought of that, but now the wheels are spinning. So. Anyways, what do you want to start with? I know you went and saw Bad Boys 3.
Yes, Bad Boys for Life. Yeah. I saw it on a Monday on MLK in a full theater. And it was funny, when I brought my tickets the day before, it was like halfway already sold out.
Damn.
Yeah. Oh, it did good. Yes, it did. It did double box office projections.
Jesus.
Yeah, like they were projecting to make something around 33 to 40 million over the 4-day weekend, and it made 73. It's a big ass difference.
No shit, that's crazy. Yeah, opening weekend was 62, and then add in, now it's up to $79 million now.
Yeah, wow. So it was one of those movies where we had talked about it. Like, I saw the trailers and I'm like, this movie just looks boring.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like it's like a Michael Bay movie, not done by Michael Bay in a bad way. It was like they look old. They didn't say anything about the story. It's just kind of like, it just seemed like tired. So I was like, I wasn't really thinking about it. And then box office projections weren't that high, and then reviews came out and they were good, like real good. And I was like, oh. Because, like, neither one of the first two were, like, critically acclaimed. It was just, like, fans liked it. Critics never really liked it, especially the second one. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. First day, it'll kind of, like, taper off. And I kept hearing more good reviews. And I was, like, intrigued. I'm like, oh, Rotten Tomatoes, 75%. How about that? Then I just kept hearing more good things about it. And I was like, maybe I go check it out. Then the weekend, they talking about, box office. So, scheduled to make 50 million. Scheduled to make 55. I'm like, oh, so people seeing this fan score, A+. I'm like, okay. So the critics like it. Fans like it. It's making money. I'll go ahead and check it out. So I got my ticket with their Monday, the 4:00 show, full thing. And that movie was excellent. Shockingly excellent. And it was kind of like, the trailers did not do that movie justice at all. And I was like, I don't know if it was like lower expectations or what it was. I was like, gosh, like, this movie has no business being as good as it is. That's what I was thinking watching the whole movie. Because, like, it's 2 hours. The movie doesn't drag. It's a lot of stuff that goes in the movie. But you can follow, like, it never feels incoherent, like it's just too much stuff. Like Six Underground, maybe one, I got the next 4 days off, maybe I'll try to watch that again. I was trying to watch that, like, it's just too much stuff going on.
Yeah, we talked about it briefly, but it's funny when you said, just to go back a little, when you said, like, it didn't look like it was directed by Michael Bay. I'm like, it actually looks like it was directed by Michael Bay now. Like, is even that Six Undercover or Underground, whatever it was, it wasn't that, like, that had some stuff, but it wasn't that pretty. And I'm comparing it to, like, a regular Michael Bay, too. Not,
Yeah, so, and it's funny thinking that, because Michael Bay shows up in a cameo in this. like during a wedding, and apparently the directors are like fans of Michael Bay.
Okay.
So watching the movie, it felt like, oh, so if, you know, I said like it felt like a Michael Bay movie not directed by Michael Bay, and I said it in a bad way. It actually turned out like a Michael Bay movie not directed by Michael Bay in a good way. Like it still had the same action. Stuff was just coherent. Like you could just follow stuff. Like it wasn't, you know, it still had the slow-mo, but it wasn't messy. It wasn't like, you know, you don't know what's going on. And that was a plus. The story was just kind of like, I didn't think I'd get emotional in a Bad Boys movie. Even though they've done like emotional stuff, but it's kind of like, there's some scenes in there that's kind of hit. Like it almost, because it's like, you know, Will Smith's whole thing is everybody trying to tell him to retire. Like, you know, you Mike Lowry, you can't be doing this for the rest of your life. And he's like, I need to do this. I got to do this one last time. I don't have anything else with this. And it's like, is it Mike Lowry talking or Will Smith talking? And everybody else, and Martin Lawrence is, and you know, Martin Lawrence is like, nah, we old, you know, I got grandkids and I'm too old to be running around doing all this and everything. And I will say before I go more into the movie, Martin Lawrence is the MVP of the movie.
Really?
Like, yes. This movie does, like, Will Smith is great in this movie. This movie does not work without Martin Lawrence being good, like at all. Like, and it's been, and I forgot how funny Martin Lawrence is, because we hadn't seen him in like a decade.
No, at he had least. That breakdown.
Like, he, like, you know, you forget, like, he was like a star in movies like a long ass time. Then he had like a seizure and almost died, and he was like in Wild Hogs, and then I hadn't seen him since. I hadn't even thought about him. And then I know he popped up in some movie early, like last year. So, and I remember seeing like the pictures and trying, like, this like a, you know, he there with the face is fatter. Like, he just look like, you know, somebody that's his age. And it doesn't help when Will Smith does not. Will Smith looks older, but Will Smith doesn't look old. Yeah. Martin Lawrence looks like he's old, but he just still has a young face. And it's just kind of like, oh, they got Martin Lawrence running around doing this. This looks dumb. It's not dumb in the movie. It's just funny. Like, it just works. Like, you know, the humor works. The heart works. Like, the movie, if he's not good in the movie's trash.
Okay.
You know,
what made him good?
One, he's still funny as hell. Okay. But not it's funny where you forgot how funny Martin Lawrence used to be, and then it's kind of like sometimes, you know, when comedians start through movies, that shtick gets grating.
Yeah.
Like he's just tiring.
Jack
he
Black
has this bounce where it's like, yeah, like when Jack Black's not toned out, when Kevin Hart does it too much, it's kinda like, all right. Change the damn channel. Martin Lawrence had this thing where he does it, him and I want to say Chris Tucker had that same thing.
Yes.
He does it just enough where it's like, you know, it's almost too much, but it never gets too much. So you're just laughing. And Martin Lawrence always had that gift, and he still has that gift. Because it's like, it's, I can easily see if it was somebody else doing it, it just gets tiring and grating, some of the jokes they make. But he's a great comedian, knows how to be funny and knows how to modulate his humor as he gets older. Like, it's a lot of, you know, it's a lot of part about, you know, aging and family and stuff like that. The storyline is insane. I'm going spoiler alert right here. So basically, before Will Smith, you know, like, he gets out of the cake, before he joins up with Martin Lawrence, way back in the day, he's undercover for like this Mexican, you know, Mexican cartel. He comes and drop, gets close with like the wife of like the main cartel dealer. They get, you know, they get actually get close. They fall in love. They gonna like run away together or anything like that. But it's like he can't because she's like this real cold-blooded witch. And it's like, you know, so he turns her in. And it's like, you know, ever since then, he's never been in love. Because, like, the whole thing is like, you know, Mike Lowry's the playboy. He never settles down. They bring up the fact, like, you know, how come you're not with Gabrielle Union? How come that didn't work out? And stuff like this. And it's kind of like, so she gets locked up, does his time. Her husband dies. They have a son. And she trains the son to basically be like this super assassin to get, you know, to get revenge. Like, she gets out of jail. And the whole plot is like, you know, having her son get revenge, all the people put him in jail and save Will Smith for last. Will Smith has no idea, like, this dude running around trying to kill him is his son till like 2/3 in the movie.
Oh, it was his son? Not
yes.
It's
his son. Because okay. No, because her husband couldn't have children.
Oh, okay.
She,
okay.
Yeah, so it's his son.
Oh, boy.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And Martin Lawrence make like, you had sex with a witch? You didn't wrap it up? Like, this is a telenovela. I can tell that's your son, because that ass whooping felt personal. Because this dude, I've never seen him in movies before, but no, he was, you know, trained. Like the action was awesome. The story's kind of like, wow. You wouldn't think about something like that, because it like ties in this whole thing, like, you know, Mike Lowry can't settle down. How come he can't find love? Like, yeah, the one time he found love was with an evil person, so he chose the job ever since. And they add, and you know why I said like Fast and Furious but R-rated? Because they add like a whole new team. You know how it is. It's like adding these new people.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, this actually works. Because it's only like, it's four. Like, you know, his ex-girlfriend that's also, you know, a cop. And it's like this new team. We do stuff in the future. One of the guys is like from Riverdale.
Yeah, I've got the cast in front of me.
Yeah, and I'm like, I was looking. I'm like, he looks familiar. And I cannot picture who it was. So like after the movie, Vanessa Hudgens is one of them. I'm like, and I told you before, Vanessa Hudgens as an action star, I would have not guessed that.
Just you saying it doesn't make any sense.
It works.
Without seeing the movie, obviously.
Yeah, like, it works because it's like, it never looks fake. You know how sometimes you see it's like, you know, oh, they just playing dress up. I never felt that. Like, you know, like, the new cast works because it's like, you know, it's like, you know, old versus new. It's not too great, and they making jokes on each other. It fleshes out the team. Also, spoiler alert, Joe Pantoliano's in there. He dies.
Oh, wow, really? Because they've been making sure they show him in the commercials, too.
Oh, like, it's like two-thirds through the movie, because the whole thing is, you know, the son comes, shoots him, puts the video on YouTube. Like, to get all these spots, like, over and over again. So it's like, imagine you get shot, and then the person that shoots you put the video, because he had, like, a GoPro on his helmet on a motorcycle, and puts it on YouTube to get, like, all these views. Mike Lowry's in the coma for, like, 5 months.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Oh, okay, so they actually, well, that's how it's not, like, Fast and the Furious. So.
Yeah, so he's in a coma.
Dom's not getting no ass whooping and getting in a coma, that's for sure.
Yeah, so, like, you don't see him again until... Martin Lawrence's daughter gets married to the dude that she went out with on Bad Boys 2.
Okay.
The kid they were messing with, talking about, oh, you taking out my daughter, you know, you ever had sex with a man, you want to have, like, that kid, Reggie, he comes back, he basically joins the Marines and marries her. So they actually brought him back from part two. So it's like, you know, I want to get revenge. And they all like, no, Mark. And Martin Lawrence like, I'm retired. I ain't coming back. And the only reason he comes back is because, you know, Captain gets shot by the son. Because he's like, you know, can't keep doing this. How long are you going to be doing this? Like, you know, you got a life. You got people who care about you. Forget all this revenge stuff. You're not the same dude you was 20 years ago. So stop trying to pretend to be that dude. Then he gets shot, brings Martin Lawrence out of retirement, pushes the story. They, you know, shit happens. They end up going to Mexico, have this whole family shootout where the son finally figures out that's, you know, that's his dad. And he's pissed and feels a certain way. And the mom's like, yeah, he's your dad. I don't care. Shoots the son by accident. Because the son...
Who shoots the son?
The mom shoots the son by accident. She was trying to shoot Will Smith. And the son got in the way. But the son doesn't die. Boom. They save Martin Lawrence. The mom gets shot by Will Smith's ex-girlfriend. So son's in jail. It's like... The movie basically ends, you know, the ex-girlfriend, his current girlfriend, she's the new captain. You know, they're all going to be working together. His son is going to be on some Suicide Squad stuff because, like, you know, I'm in jail. I got to serve time. It's like, you want to cut some time? You want to cut some time off your sentence? And that's how the movie ends, with, like, that cliffhanger.
Okay, yeah, so I was reading about that, and that was added later. And they showed it to different test audiences. One with the scene added, one without. And this is one of those rare occasions where the crowd was like, no, we kind of need that second or credit scene, whatever, because it helps give like some sort of closure with that character. And, you know, they can turn it into something if they want to, or, you know, just kind of have the end. Yes. So I thought that was interesting.
Yes, and the fact that they were talking about doing a sequel... the weekend the movie was coming out, it was like, yeah, I can see why that, you know, it's kind of like, it makes sense because, like, it leads, you could end the movie this way if you want, but it's like, you could easily do a sequel. And they already talked about, you know, same writer, you know, of course, bring Will Smith, Martin Lawrence back. And before I wrap up with the movie, I like this movie because the love interests were age appropriate. Like, Will Smith's ex-girlfriend, she looked like she's like 25. She's in her 40s. The mom that they had an affair with is 51. She's like this Mexican telenovela actress, Kate Del Castro. She does not look 51 at all. So I'm looking at age. I'm like, oh, because I saw an old review talking about, oh, you know, Will Smith's ex-love interest, Vanessa Hudgens. Yeah, like Will Smith's ex-love interest, Vanessa Hudgens. I'm like, what? That shit make, like, Vanessa Hudgens is young, but I was like, it's a 20-something year age gap. They're like, oh no, they mixed up the characters. So it's like, yeah. I mean, that does make a big deal. Oh, what's the big deal? That makes a big damn difference. Like, one did two different characters. One's in her 40s, and one is like 31.
And also, and it makes a difference in the character. Because you don't want, usually the hero is not the guy dating, like, the teenage jailbait. You know, it's usually the bad guys or like the sleazy guy. So you don't want, you know, your main character getting involved with something like that.
And it's hilarious because Michael Bay had a whole storyline Transformers specifically talking about that. Like, oh, yeah, I can date her even though she's younger and I'm grown because we both started dating when we were both underage.
What storyline was that? I don't remember.
The Transformers movie of Mark Wahlberg, when it's like his daughter's dating this NASCAR, race car driver from Ireland. It's like he's 30 and she's a teenager. It's like, oh, Jack and Jill rule. This on Texas law. And I'm looking at like, I don't know what's worse. That's a real law, or they use that as a damn storyline to justify this shit. Because I was watching this like, you got to kidding me. Like, because people ask like, you know, you date my daughter, you grown, you going to jail. Like, nope. We started dating. We were underage, so it's allowed. Like, that's going to stop me from shooting you.
I was, maybe I should save it for off air. I was, like, at least now we're talking about something, like, oh, her friend was in town, and she was, like, trying to embarrass Elise about, like, how she was obsessed with this one guy in school from, like, first grade all the way through, like, high school. And then I started talking about how I was, like, seeing one of my friend's sisters on the side. And we were going back and forth about it. And at the time, I mean, you're young. You don't really think about any of this stuff. I was a sophomore, and she was in eighth grade. But it's only 2 years difference. Or 2 years? Something like that. But when you say it out loud like that as an adult,
yes.
That yes, sounds awful.
Yes, it does.
And I'm just going, oh my God. And then I started trying to work the ages out. I'm like, the age isn't that bad. And then I got to the ages and went, that sounds bad. That's why I'm not saying them out loud, by the way. You can figure it out for yourselves. But, yeah. Boy. And... yeah, it was just weird. Like, just saying it out loud again, I was like, ew. I mean, you're going, mm-hmm. I'm dating someone from a different school. Oh, are you? they go to school later than us, but, you know, whatever. So, but yeah, no, I get you on that. So, it's much weirder when you're older now. When you're, like, younger like that, it's not.
Don't think about it. No, yeah, once you get older, it's like, oh, we're doing that. So, no, I would just say the action works, the comedy works. And it's a lot of heart in the movie. And it's kind of like, it's funny where Bad Boys is a polarizing thing where people remember it and people like it. But it's like, you get in arguments over, like, are they good movies? Because, like, especially Bad Boys 2. Bad Boys 2 is very polarizing. It's no, people either love that movie or they hate that movie. It is no, it's no in between. Like, Bad Boys is like, it's cool. It's the first time you see, like, you know, two black stars and like a Lethal Weapon type movie where they're both black. It's like action stars. And you hadn't really seen that, like, you know, like a big budget movie. So it's kind of like, that was new. And so we embraced that. Bad Boys 2 came like 8 years later. By then they were both stars. And it seemed like it's just like the excess of the early 2000s, like everything is just bigger and more. And it's this kind of like, I'm a Michael Bay fan, but Michael Bay works best when it's like restraint. When it's like he's like The Rock or Pain and Gain, where it's like, you know, he's doing what he needs to do. It's maximizing his good things. It's minimizing his bad things. Bad Boys 2 is just like, you just take a big gallon jug of Kool-Aid and drop 6 bags of sugar in it. It's fine until you get diabetes. I'm like, you either like that or you don't like it. It's not just like, you know, oh, I'm going to dip my toe in. Like, so, but this one is kind of like, yeah, this is the best of the three. Like, easily. And that's kind of like, I wouldn't guess saying that. And these direct, and apparently these directors are going to be directing Beverly Hills Cop 4. I mean, I would have.
Is it going to be Eddie? Like, is it, all right. So there's been such a weird.
Eddie.
There's been such a weird thing with that, because they tried making it a TV series where it was Axel Foley's son, and yeah, that got crushed. And they've been talking about making 4 forever. And if you see 3,
I think success kind of helps things, because one, Eddie Murphy being in the limelight again helps.
True.
These directors having a hit also helps. The fact that's like, you know, it's funny where Bad Boys 2 came out 2003.
Damn.
So the So we get in a sequel 17 years later. Normally you don't get sequels to movies that old. But then again, we're getting a Bill and Ted and a Top Gun sequel and a Coming to America sequel in the next few years. So it's kind of like, you know, that rule kind of went out the window. And what I have learned is, because people have been wondering, like, how could Bad Boys worked and like Men in Black and Charlie Angels and stuff like that, where like, it helps when, one, you do a sequel to movies people actually like and remember fondly, while still having the same characters and not like looking down like the previous stuff. Just like, people who gonna see Bad Boys gonna see it because they like Bad Boys, because they like Will Smith and they like Martin Lawrence. They have warm memories and stuff like that. So you can, and if you do it correctly, do it smart, and it's not like you laughing at them. It's like, you know, we're enjoying it. And the one thing I'll say is, they never act like, I'm too big for this movie, I'm just taking this for a check. Martin Lawrence don't need any money. Like Martin Lawrence, just from doing Martin Lawrence was a movie star for like a damn decade. And when I say movie star, like, he was starring a movie. Like, they would make a movie because of him. So Martin Lawrence, unless he was had a gambling problem or a drug problem, it's fine. And Will Smith's Will Smith.
Well, the drug problem, well, you know.
I mentioned a seizure
earlier, but
I mean, he was running with a damn trash bag on his on his body, trying to cut weight.
It wasn't exactly what was on the body. Some of it might have had to do with what was in it too. So
I would just say
we've all been there.
I have more sympathy for that as a medical professional who deals with people who try to cut weight, and that exact thing has happened. And drugs ain't always involved. I'm not saying drugs weren't involved with that. It's plenty of people I treat that exact same thing that happened to Martin Lawrence happens to them too. You try to cut a lot of weight haphazardly and unsafely, and your body's like, nope, that is not going to fly. So Martin Lawrence damn near died, and we kind of forgot about it. So yeah, the fact that he's functional and alive and like actually like doing stuff is kind of like, I think like the same thing about Tracy Morgan. We laugh about it now, like, oh yeah, I got money from, I got hit by a truck. He damn near died.
Yeah, and someone did.
Yeah,
one of his best friends died. So
we kind of like brush it off. Oh, you know, he was in critical condition. He was in a coma. He was in this and that. He bounced back. Most people don't be bouncing back like that. I'm doing moves again. It's like, you know, like I look at like wrestling. Magnum TA wasn't his thing. He didn't like, I came back 6 months later to wrestle. It's like, no, came back a year later to walk. And that was a big deal.
Yeah, the Magnum TA thing always gets me. But one thing you mentioned earlier was that it came out on like that weekend. I mean, we're talking about Martin Luther King weekend, and Black Panther came out during Black History Month. I don't know what's scheduled for February, like if there is anything.
I will say,
I don't see anything.
Here's the thing, and we've learned that with not just Black Panther, but with like Deadpool and like John Wick, is months like January and February used to be treated as dead months. Mm-hmm. Or if you had stuff come out with like romantic stuff. But if you have a good movie that comes out like mid to late January, you kind of in there because there's nothing else out. Like the people who saw the Christmas movies, they already saw those Christmas movies by now. Like they probably caught up in it. And nothing big tends to come out anymore until like March and April. So if you have something, you got like a, like, because basically this is gonna be it until Birds of Prey.
Yeah,
because everything else is out, and nothing else big is gonna come out, and then stuff will start ramping up in like March, April, and May, and it's kind of like you have a perfect window. Like if you have your and normally like horror movies do it. Like where it's a good thing, like a lot of the Happy Death Day or stuff like that comes out around that time.
This one's Fantasy Island.
I've seen the previews. I'm kind of like, you know,
I haven't seen it.
I've seen like one preview. Oh, okay. Like, you know, John Wick used to be around, like John Wick 2 came out around February. Deadpool 1 came out on Valentine's Day weekend. Like this around the same time, like 50 Shades of Grey. It's like, you know, it's kind of like you're going to take your girl to see a movie. You want to see a romantic movie, you want to see a violent movie, y'all both go see both. So it's kind of like, if you know how to program, you know how to market it, you can be in there. And same thing like kind of Jumanji kind of found that out by the whole thing. Is like, we're going to come out around the same time as Star Wars, because when you're sick of seeing Star Wars or you can't see Star Wars, you can see us. And it's funny where, and I guess we can wrap talking about that, when the first Jumanji came out, it came out after The Last Jedi. Mm-hmm. And it kind of like cleaned up because like people got tired of Last Jedi. They just kept seeing Jumanji. This one came out before Rise of Skywalker, and yet now it's grossing more per weekend than Last Skywalker, because people was kind of like feeling a certain way about Last Skywalker. So it was like, you know, Jumanji was out, got the head start. The people saw Rise of Skywalker, and now it's like, oh, you know, Rise of Skywalker is dropping, you know, theaters like hotcakes. Yeah. And people still going to see Jumanji. Like normally if a movie comes out before you and it passes you, like that later movie passes you, you normally don't get the lead back. Jumanji got the lead back, and it's just kind of like this whole, you kind of find your thing, you know. It's not this whole, you know, we come out summertime or else. Now it's like, you know, we know the movie works in February, bring out in February. We know the movie works in December, bring out December. Like you find a month that works for you. Like Bad Boys is a perfect thing where if it came out in the summertime, yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's like it gets caught up in all the other things. It comes out in February, there's nothing else out. So I would go see like Hobbs and Shaw work the same way where like it came out like the end of the summer. Everything else was done. So it's like, you know, it's the last big movie till the fall. Let's go see this.
I'm trying to think, see, what I was getting at was you've got like, this isn't really a black movie, or whatever you want to call it, but the two leads are, so...
I mean, it kind of is.
Oh, okay. I mean, that, like I said, mean, I haven't seen not, it, so...
No, basically what I know what you're saying.
Yeah, what I'm getting at, though, is... So you got Martin Luther King Weekend, and if you're a studio, and you've seen... And I know Black Panther was really a once-in-a-lifetime thing, but if you've got Black History Month, and I was going through the releases, and yes, this is exploitive, I'm going to say it right now. Why wouldn't you be packing February with nothing but like all of your African American centric movies?
You know why, Jeremy? Because people aren't smart.
I mean, that just seems like a no brainer.
They have no brains when it comes to this.
Because I'm that's right. Why. And the reason I'm bringing this up is, well, because of Black Panther, what you said, but also that Just Mercy movie. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out if it did well or not. But
it's been doing well.
But I'm wondering, if you wait 2 months, put it out during when the focus is on this, if it does better.
They did.
I don't know.
No, they brought it out that time because, like, Oscar season.
Yeah,
that's why they did that.
Yeah,
because that's kind of like an Oscar. That's kind of like, you know, that's an Oscar bait movie. So it's like, you know, we want to bring it out so enough people see that. So, and to be honest, it's kind of like a movie like that don't matter. Like if people are either going to see it, they're not going to see it. Like it's kind of like Hidden Figures.
Yeah,
it came out and it was out for like 3 months. And like, you know, it's word of mouth. And it's kind of like, you're not going to be in a rush to see those movies where black people are sad. Like, you're just going to see it, or you're not going to see it. Yeah. Enough people say it's good, you're going to... Yeah, like, stuff like Bad Boys, you want to have fun. Like, nobody's going to be like, oh, yeah, I can't wait till 12 Years a Slave drop.
Yeah, oh, no. Yeah. Okay, no. But, yeah, but even from that, like, that even further confounds me. You have the sad movie. You have the action movie. You have the romance. You have this, like, one a weekend. You're checking every box every weekend. It just seems like $20 million every weekend you get, at least. Oh, well.
Well, you got to keep in mind, it's not that many black movies that come out per year anyway. If you had them all come out in February, how'd that look? Oh, all the black movies come out in 1 month.
That's why I said this is an exploitive idea. I understand that, and I'm totally comfortable with making money that way. So,
but you're not going to make money that way, because then it's kind of like, now we got to pick and choose. So which black movie are we going to support? This one or the other one? And yeah, so I would just wonder why more studios don't have their movie come out in February. But it's kind of like, I don't want them all to come out in February.
Well, part of that idea also came from Elise was at JCPenney, and I always wondered if Martin Luther King was a real holiday. Now, let me explain. A real holiday has sales. A real holiday has merchandise, and they use it for everything else. So even Columbus Day, you can get Columbus Day sales. Whether or not if you agree with it or not, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You can get a car discount. You get furniture discount, all that sort of stuff. So then in February, we have Black History Month. And I'm like, how has no one really capitalized on this? Until she said she went to JCPenney's. They have displays for Black History Month full of traditional, I'm using air quotes, black apparel. And I went, it's about fucking time. It's about time all these companies finally got on the bandwagon and started trying to cash in off this stuff. It just warmed my heart.
Look, they've been doing that. You just don't go to those places.
Have they really?
Yes.
You're gonna burst my bubble like that?
Yes. I'm sorry.
That is honestly disappointing. I thought this was a new thing. I really honestly thought that was a new thing.
Hey, if it's new to you, then it's new. I'm sure when people saw that, I'm sure when people were doing moonsaults before the Great Buddha, but we never seen it. It's like, what's this new shit? So there you go.
Well, that sucks. Because Martin Luther King Day is a real holiday, by the way, because they do have sales now. So
you know what that reminds me of? Because I just thought about that, and I saw it on YouTube. Do you remember that promo Edge cut on Martin Luther King Day?
Someone on Reddit had that up, where he wouldn't wrestle.
I remember watching that last time. You know, I would love to fight you, John Cena, but we're in Arizona, one of the last states to acknowledge Martin Luther King Day as a holiday.
Yes.
Yeah, and I wouldn't wrestle, and I don't believe in wrestling in front of these bigots, because I'm from Canadian, I'm colorblind. And he's the heel supposed to be getting booed. And I remember I laughed my ass off. Then, like, you know, Johnny Nitro's great, great, great grandfather was like 1/8 black. So he's going to wrestle you. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I was laughing because I remember watching that
one. I remember that one too, yes.
And I remember I laughed my ass off when Ed said that. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Because it's like, how am I going to boo Edge? I know all the shit Arizona's like. That Arizona stuff was real. So I'm like, he ain't lying. And it just reminds me, like, Bret Hart used to do the same thing. Talking about, I'm not, that racism, the American thing. I ain't a bigot like The Undertaker and Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I get what you're saying, but at the same time, you know, he's lying. And then two, he's just doing it so he avoids an ass whipping. So
yeah, once he put the whole Johnny Knight I was like, okay, now get the boo. But no, I was just thinking about that because you brought Martin to the King holiday. But you know, Bad Boys, they already said they're working on a sequel. And that's what happens when you have a movie that makes a lot of money and people like, you do sequels. And the funny thing is, the way the movie sets up, you can make an organic sequel. Like, it works perfectly. Like, it sets up for a sequel. And it's like, and turning Bad Boys into Fast and Furious was not something I thought I would ever see. And that is exactly what they did. So, hey, R-rated lower budget Fast and Furious, I'm here for it.
And apparently a lot of other people are too. So, I don't know if we should talk about Arrow next or NXT. Where do you want to go with that? Because it's two completely different topics. With
we can talk about Arrow and then go to NXT. All
right. I don't have a lot to say about this because we both know what this was. It's just, it's just a preview. So it's like, okay. Two things. And this, I hope, maybe not. But I hope this doesn't carry over to other shows. But this idea that Cisco weaponized John's memory thing, oh, I don't like this at all. And at least they sort of addressed it with Mia going, how dare you do this to me? And I'm like, that was the whole thing. It's like everything just got sort of reset, which we're going to see in Arrow coming up. And they're just conveniently using it to change stuff. Like,
I mean,
I hope that doesn't stick around.
I mean, it's like you got to use the whole thing is it's kind of hard where when some people remember and other people don't, yeah. That's kind of tough. Like, you know, it's
which especially is why I where they didn't.
But know? Also, it's kind of like, okay, so it's in the future, but two people from the past. Because like, oh, Dina, I woke up one day, I just happen to be in the future, and I don't exist no more. So I'm just a singer now.
Yeah, well, that's harkens to like what they tried doing with the Black Canary reboot, where they made her a punk rock singer.
I mean, I don't mind the singing part. It's like, I'd rather do that than throw like some great, you know, hair dye in her hair to try to make her look 20 years older. Like, just keep her age.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't mind that because it's like, you know, it adds to the story and it'd be like, you know, it'd just be kind of silly. She don't remember nothing. She just walk around with these two strangers. Like, who are you people? Why would... Because why else would she be working with them?
Oh, no, I understand that, yeah.
And then adding it to, The boyfriend fiance is like you add story gravitas, you know, adds like intrigue and stuff. That's part. My issue I thought you were gonna bring up is I'm still not liking this girl.
Okay, I was getting there. So
that's my main thing. It's not. I don't know if it's. I don't think it's the actress. I just think the role is kind of like she's just too thorny. Is one of them, and it's like how Oliver was in season one, and I'm not ready to do that all over again. You know, it's kind of, and the bigger problem is if the show's going to be revolved around her, she's getting overshadowed by the other two.
Yes. Yes. I thought if it was just Laurel and Dinah, all their stuff was great. I mean, Laurel is still, one, how is she alive? They never, I guess Ollie must have put her back into existence, but why wouldn't he put the real one back in? So I'm kind of lost. Maybe Arrow will explain this stuff. But I really liked their dynamic, the two of them. Like, she's just pushy, edgy, whatever else, and Dinah's like, hey, you know, chill out. Because they were never that close of friends on Arrow. So I keep forgetting this was Arrow. Sorry. But
it didn't feel like Arrow.
No, it really didn't.
It felt like, you know, Arrow Beyond.
Yeah, so, minus like the old guy or whoever.
Well, that's the thing. Laurel's the old guy. She just look around. She just look young. Especially it's just weird when you start how Arrow, like you remember Laurel when Arrow started and you see her and now it's like, put season one Laurel and season eight Laurel in the same room. It's like, damn, did you get divorced? Like, it's, I mean, it's... And I like the change for the better because, like, yes. This Arrow, you know, this was cool. Like, you know, she got the short white hair and she walked in. It's kind of like, you know, I'm morally ambiguous. I'm the bad guy trying to be a good guy again. You know, I was faking to be a good guy and all that. And her story is, like, you know, interesting. Dinah's story is interesting. And then you got the daughter. It's like, uh-huh. You know, although it's kind of like, you know, Earth is treating her like if Spider-Man was Tony Stark's son. It's like, you know, my dad saved the world, he died, and everybody knows it. And I got to live up in those footsteps. And now all of a sudden, you used to tell me, oh, I used to be a superhero too? And I had all the, and I got to meet my dad that I thought I'd never met and all this stuff. It's a lot of stuff to unpack. It's just kind of like, it's interesting on paper more than like seeing it on TV.
And I know how this is going to sound, and I don't care. I just don't buy her as being like this badass she's supposed to be. She's, all right, when she was fighting that like one thug, I mean, obviously she's going to outmaneuver him. I see that guy is three times as big as she is, and I'm going, you better have the Flash's abilities to take this dude down. Like, hang on a sec. But if it was Laurel or Dinah, I'd be like, oh yeah, this seems like a fair fight.
It's because you've seen years of them doing it. And especially also, keep in mind, we used to say the same thing about Laurel. Because when she used to start, when she first started fighting, it's like, oh, this is kind of clumsy.
Yes.
And you know why? One, she was new. And two, we would compare her to Sarah.
Oh,
and that didn't help either. Like, you know, Sarah's like a... Yeah, Sarah's already a trained martial artist and athlete. And then we already saw her kick ass like two or three seasons. We never saw Laurel throw a damn punch. She trains for 3 weeks. And now she's throwing ugly ass spin kicks. And we used to talk about Laurel like, yeah, this kind of looks kind of rough.
Uh-huh.
I like, you know, Laurel's put in a lot of reps since then, so now Laurel's the veteran. So I'm like, you know, I'm cool with giving time, and if they pick it up, like I said, you know.
No, they already did.
Hey, people getting checks. People getting checks. Cool. Like, you know, this is how you want to do it. I'll give it a chance. But I'm already acknowledging it's going to be rough because, like, you know, it's involving people we care about and people we don't care about.
Yeah. And the brother still kind of grates me, but... I'm not writing it off because I don't want to be like that, but I can already see it's going to be tough. And then also, I mentioned this in the Crisis one, it's cool they acknowledge Ollie and all that. Stop doing it now. Like, if it's going to be their show, I know, like, he's obviously an important part, but we can't keep doing this. You can't keep reminding us of what's gone.
How about this?
So,
when Spider-Man stops acknowledging Iron Man, then they can stop acknowledging that, right?
I'm with you too. I don't think that's a bad idea either.
But to be fair, it's kind of like, it's not that you don't keep doing it for the rest of the thing. It is a big damn deal.
Mm-hmm. It's fresh too.
I mean, it's fresh. It's like, you know, the man basically saved the damn multiverse.
I like how everybody... they kept selling that he saved the city. No. He saved all reality, actually. So
you say more than just your city, pal, but it's like, I think it's easier to explain it that way. And like, you know, he saved every universe in existence. Like, this dude with an arrow did all that. Like, it's kind of like he saved the city. It's like, you can kind of accept that easier. So
yeah.
Like, you know, it's weird because I was wondering how they were acknowledged, like the stuff changes. Like, I haven't seen Black Lightning yet. I know they set out the show Supergirl. Did it, Supergirl and Batwoman did the most. Black Lightning did it the least. I saw you haven't seen Legends yet, have you?
No, I'm actually going to try and watch Supergirl again as well, because I think I thought John Cryer was really good as Lex Luthor, and knowing they're keeping him around at least for now, and I read like some of the stuff they did on the show, and it sounded kind of intriguing. So, okay,
yeah, I'm going to do that. Like, I was watching Batwoman first, and then, because I know they did, like, one small thing on there. But,
I stupidly read about it. That's not a small thing.
I mean, I'm talking about as far as, like, everything else was like, yeah, that's a thing. It's like, oh, now it's two of them running around, the one you want and one you don't want. So, because before, they like, the other show was kind of, like, avoid, like, it's like the character you see, it's just that one. It makes things simple. And now, like, having one that has multiple versions of that, as things, it's just a lot to catch up on, because I got used to, like, the shows not being there, and then they all came back.
Yeah,
all the same week. And I got to get back and watch stuff, and it didn't help to actually watch wrestling. Like, I watched Raw, so it was like, because I forgot the shows that came back. So,
sorry.
Yeah, I know.
I was talking to Kevin this week on Stunk Granny. I didn't watch Raw. I didn't watch SmackDown. Is such an afterthought, which is too bad because I really like The Fiend and Daniel Bryan and that stuff. And the Usos came back, so I was happy about that. But the second I see Baron Corbin and Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode in the main event,
I'm glad. Glad
it
not
just turns
me
off. Like, no, I don't care. Yeah.
I'm glad it's not just me saying that. But no, I feel the same way. I can't remember the last time I watched SmackDown because it was kind of like, and SmackDown, I used to enjoy watching it.
Yes.
And the only thing I like on SmackDown now is that goofy ass Otis Mandy Rose storyline.
Yes. Okay. But this is one criticism, but it's just Otis being Otis. When he caught her, oh, by the way, I watched the videos on YouTube. I'm becoming one of those people, by the way.
Yes.
If it looks interesting, I'll watch it on the DVR after I look at it on YouTube. And when he caught her and started doing the tongue thing, I was like, dude, hang on a sec. That's a little creepy, actually. But
it's like, hey, some people say that's advertisement.
Yes. Well, not a bad one for him. But do you ever watch The Bump?
Bits and pieces.
All right, one, that show's terrible. There's all these people. They had Kofi Kingston on this week. I wanted to listen to Kofi Kingston. These jerk-offs just kept talking over him. He's like, yeah, you know, when he's talking about WrestleMania, what it meant to people. And they're all like, yeah, it was a really good moment, man. It was really like, shut up. No one wants to hear you. Shut the fuck up. Can you name anybody on that show? Besides whatever star is on there. Is it Michaela Maroney? Is that the woman? Or is it... No, it's not Charlie.
I couldn't name anybody.
Exactly. So they need to shut their mouths and let the super... Like, I'm not watching. Maybe that's what they want. Is for us to watch for the personalities. But as soon as Kofi left, I shut it off. I'm like, I don't... I think Natty was supposed to be on later, but I couldn't take it. So... But anyways, something triggered that. I don't know what I already forgot. But yeah, I had to get that off my chest.
I'm glad you got off your chest.
Yeah, man, it's awful. Because Kofi was like getting emotional about it, and these dumbasses are just blah 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 blah. Shut up. Let the man talk about his moment. I mean, to see Kofi Kingston have he's always so smooth. So to see him actually, like, breaking up about WrestleMania was pretty awesome. Like, wow, okay, so you know what meant something to him? And Xavier and Big E were the two that were most emotional. So to see him, like, almost a year later talking about it, like, you know, I don't need these jerk-offs talking. Anyways. But yeah, but SmackDown just seems like an afterthought. The reason I brought it up is... They had Otis, and they put Val Venus's music over him, behind like in the background as Otis was like rubbing his belly on SmackDown. That was funny. So whoever creative decision did that, nice job. But yeah, that's all that was good. That was all that.
No,
was that.
It's just, and I like the storyline because it just kind of, they're taking the time. It just happened out of nowhere. And it's just kind of like, you know, it's weird because they have, one, you hear about, you know, did they used to date on NXT or anything like that? Because you, depending on who you ask, either they did or they didn't. Like, that's always been there. They've always kind of like, you know, he's always had a crush on her on social media. Mm-hmm. And like, seeing is kind of like, you know, then you think like Mandy Rose is, because it's like, you don't see a baby-faced guy and a heel woman have this type of thing like that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's normally they both baby-faces. And it's kind of like, you look at Mandy Rose, she's the, you know, the narcissist stuck-up girl or anything like that. And she's not really changing her character that much. It's like, you know, she like him, but she ain't acting all silly or nothing. And it's kind of like, you know, Tucker's time, like, you know, you need to chill out, focus on the match. I don't know if you can trust her. Sonya giving a side eye, like, are you just using this clown? I know you don't really like him. You know, she making him a cake because Dolph Ziggler messed up the cake he made and all this stuff, and giving kisses and everything, and they talking backstage. It's just, and it's like, it's just organic because it's, you have no idea where it's going. You know, is she going to turn? Is Sonya gonna get jealous? Is somebody gonna, you know, you just watching and enjoying it? And compare that to all that crap with like Lashley and Rusev and Lana. Oof. It's kind of like, how are these both happening on the same damn company at the same time? And I already know why. Because, and I told people, I like, people blame Vince for a lot of things, and with good reason. Do not forget all the crap Paul Heyman has done with women. And I don't even got to talk about the ECW stuff, because I was talking to my friend about that. Like, remember that Dawn Marie, Tori Wilson stuff that was going on?
Was that his?
Yes, that was his. Okay. Yeah, it's like, that was around his time frame. That was probably before he left, like, running SmackDown Creative. I think that was like, yeah, like, oh yeah, we forgot. I'm like, yeah, a lot of people, like, Paul Heyman has been on this crap for a long time. And it's different when you're a teenager. It's like, oh, Tommy Dreamer having two women at the same time, and they fake lesbians. That's cool. Let's all kiss. Because you're 16 and you don't know any better. I'm 40 now, so I'm watching this. You're doing the same stuff, and I'm like, I don't watch, like, you know, South Park might be cool if you're young. I'm watching now, I'm like, this is just childish trash. Like, and I'm watching the same thing, watching this, you know, this other stuff. Like, why is this a thing? And it's kind of like, and the funny thing is, this is a real popular thing, like, with casual fans, because people like soap operas and train wrecks. And it's also funny where somebody was pointing out, like, some people are, like, blaming Rusev. Like, kids, somebody brought up the story, like, some kid was watching, they start booing Rusev because he messed up the wedding. And they was like, Rusev, but Lashley stole his wife. And he's like, so what? Life goes on. Stop being a bully. It's like an 8-year-old saying this.
Well, here's the problem, though, is Rusev, all right, the logic in the thing doesn't make sense, which I know. Rusev said he's happy for him. As soon as they get married, he doesn't pay alimony, which is hilarious because that means he has the worst lawyer in the world. And then he says he's not going to interrupt it. He's not going to. So then he interrupts it. And it's like, well, wait, what happened to not having to pay alimony? Like, I'm confused what's going on here.
I changed my mom, it doesn't make any sense because it's like, you know, they breaking up because he's a sex addict, and then it's like they fighting the keeper, and we still don't really want her, and I'm just waiting for them to get divorced, so I don't got to pay any money, but then I'm waiting for them to get married, but then I'm going to break up the wedding because, like, get married in your own time, and then I'm throwing Liv Morgan in this. And
for no reason.
Like, for no reason. Oh, yeah. I really love you. I'm a lesbian now. Like, Liv Morgan ain't new. We know who she is. It's like, you just add stuff. Like, it made no sense whatsoever. Like, at all. Like, I don't know. Sexuality is a storyline. That's fine. If you're going to do it right, do it right. We talked about that with, like, you know, with Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose, where it's like they started it and then they stopped it because, like, you know, maybe we ain't ready or we ain't sure how we want to do that. Cool.
Well, but supposedly they killed it for this. That's the rumors. They didn't want two lesbian storylines going. Which, by the way, the Lana Liv stuff, that's been totally dropped. They don't even mention it.
Now we just fighting.
Yeah. So, like, what?
This is stupid. Like, the whole.
And they never win. There's another big part of this. Rusev and Liv, Rusev especially, they never win. So why am I backing this bum who doesn't make any sense?
I don't know. Because, like, Paul Heyman's trying to reminisce in the time when we all cheered for Tommy Dreamer, even though he lost to Raven for like 4 years. So, and it's like, no, nobody trying to see that shit anymore. That's whole, oh, I'll get you next time. Like, no. Get that Looney Tunes shit out of there. I just realized how indoctrinated we've been based on how we look at stuff for pro wrestling, because it's kind of like we just acknowledge the fact that, yes, if you're a hero, you're going to be dumb and do stupid stuff because that's the noble thing to do. And that's insane. Like, no, you're not going to have any friends. You're going to fight. If the bad guy has three friends and you by yourself, you're just going to run in there and fight anyway, because it's like, I don't need friends and I'm not going to use a weapon. I'm just going to be brave. Oh, it's a trap. I'm just going to jump in because that's what heroes do. And... Well, it was something I was watching. I'm trying to remember what movie. It was some, and it's something my stepdad, and it always stuck with me. We was watching some hero movie, and it was like a guy fight like 19 people, and he was like, "This is dumb. Why are he fighting 19 people by himself? This shit make no sense." Ever since he said that, that always made me look at situations like that with a side eye. I'm like, you know what? My stepdad is right. Like, it's just that, I mean, I don't care how good you are. That shit makes no sense. I'm going to fight 2501.
Well, but no! But then I think about, like, the raid. And I'm like, that's one of the coolest action sequences ever.
I mean, but yeah, we've grown up on the history of movies doing that.
Yeah.
Heroes beating up 25, like, you know, beating up two people, cool. Beating up 25 is even cooler. And, like, you know, we like John Wick.
Well, also, you know? Yeah, that's true. But then also, to go back to Arrow, remember, what was his name? Trevor? The kid that is part of, like, whatever cult, I guess, whatever they're doing with that. Mm-hmm. And he goes, all of them against you, I like those odds. And most of the time, they just to stick there and fight. I think it was Dino was like, nah, we gotta get out of here. Like, nah, that's too many of them. Like, oh wow, someone finally wised up on this show that you're allowed to run when all the bad guys are chasing you. Like, are coming yeah. after you. It's okay.
Like, that's like, our mission isn't here to beat up all these people. Our mission is to stop something else.
Yeah.
Which they didn't even do. It's like, oh, we gotta stop them from blowing up the building. And they still blew up the damn building. Just to have a cool scene and the girl like, who are you bitches?
Yeah. Yes, that's which I
laugh because I'm like, you rappelling down a burning building in slow motion so it can blow up in the background so they can ask like, who?
Yeah.
I'm like, this is some straight TV shit, but fine. I'm here for it.
I forgot.
Go ahead.
We kind of went back to Arrow real quick. Did you hear or read about Stephen Amell's appearance on, was it Michael Rosen? The guy that played Lex Luthor on Smallville's mm-hmm. podcast. Now, outside of him having like a panic attack and having to come back months later, did you read or hear about like what Stephen Amell was saying about Arrow and all that? He was not happy.
And what? In what way?
Okay, so when they were filming...
You're talking about after he finished?
No, he was talking like he didn't want to come back for this season. He's like, nah, we're good. And Crisis was going to be it, I guess. But he goes, they made me an offer that, like, fiscally, I would be an idiot to pass up. So that he basically got a full season's money from doing, like, these 8 episodes. But then at the same time, he was going through, like, a mental and physical depression. And it's funny because they pointed this out that there were no shirtless scenes of him in this mm-hmm. season of Arrow, which there always is. And he said that he just stopped working out. He wasn't working out. He gained weight. And that was why, because whatever his depression was.
Yeah, it's kind of like you think you finished, you ready to move on. And the way it ended, it was kind of like this. I feel this is like a series finale, like it's done. And it's like, nah, we ain't done.
Yeah,
you got to do more just kind of like for Crisis or anything like that. And Stephen, it was like, you know, Stephen Amell has other, like, got that Star show that's about to do, like that wrestling show.
Yeah, that hasn't even started yet. They haven't started like, production.
It's kind of like he has other things he can do. And I'm sure it's like, you know, 7 years is a long, like, you know, mm-hmm. that's a strenuous show. And it's not like, you know, 10 episodes, like, doing 22 episodes a year, every year. And it's kind of like, you know, it's good. I don't have to do it anymore. Like, I'm ready to move on with something else. And it's one of those, and it's a lot of, shows have done that. We're going to tack on a season. And it's like, I thought we were done.
Yes. And, but it was funny hearing him. He wasn't being gracious or appreciative. Because he was saying, like, those scenes where he was dying on at the end of Crisis, there was no one there. He goes, so here I am. I'm Arrow on the Flash's set? No. It was Supergirl's set with Flash people doing this stuff who I don't work with. And Grant and, oh, no, what's her name? Michelle? No.
Melissa?
Yeah. They had to be somewhere else. So they quickly did their stuff, and they took off. So the rest of the time, I'm sitting there, I'm laying on a gurney by myself while these people are running around trying to leave. Not them, but like crew and stuff. And he goes, I don't know how I'm supposed to act during all this. So he sounded angry. Like I mean, not like ranting and raving angry, but he was not happy.
It's not the first time either.
Right. And so I was one, like, he was just done with that show. Yeah. But I'll be very curious, because there ain't going to be any more cameos from him, I don't think. So
not, nor should they. Yeah, I'm like, no. That's, they don't need to do that anymore. It's like, you know, he built the foundation for that. He ready to go. And I don't blame him. Like, it's not the first time he's been mad at stuff. Like, he's talked about, you know, scheduling. He's talked about money. He's talked about how we couldn't use certain things. Or, like, you know, because he complained before. It's like, y'all taking all our good writers for all these other shows, and we suffer because of that. Like, because at first it happened with The Flash. And then I remember it was a big thing with Legends of Tomorrow, where it's like, you know, y'all, us, like, basically, our show's getting hijacked so you can start this show. We're losing our best people. And y'all not even doing that. Y'all not even doing Legends right. So what's the damn point? I remember that being a thing. I remember him trying to be like a good soldier while being like, y'all gotta fix this. Like, bad enough we can't use the Suicide Squad, and we can't use Deathstroke, and then we can't do this. And now you're taking these people, and now half my season starting up with this show and all that. Like, yeah, he was this whole, I'm just, you know, I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, no, like, no, he sounds like he's happy to be done. And because they were telling, like, the schedule, it was March through August or September, something like that. It was taking up his entire year. And he's like, no. I just, no. But he said, like, I guess a panic attack that he had on that show was, like, that was the wake-up call. Like, I'm mentally exhausted. Mentally and physically exhausted.
Yeah.
From, well, I mean, who knows what else he's got going on. But he even said, like, once he was done with the show, he had to promote for his cousin's, or is it Robbie Amell? Is that his brother? Cousin?
I think a brother or cousin.
Okay, so.
But yeah, his.
Mm-hmm. He was out promoting that for months. So even after he was done with Arrow, he never got a chance to just relax. And then he went right back into Arrow, and then all this other frustrating stuff came in. So
we kind of ignore, like, how much work gets involved, like, doing stuff like that, like for the shows and movies. Like, I was waking up this morning, it was like, they're talking about, you know, making a John Wick 3, and they're talking about how, oh yeah, I trained for 7 months. And you know, when it's different when you read it, and you're like, oh, okay, and then you hear them say, I'm like, Halle Berry's in her 50s, and she did that tactical shit for 7 months, and I'm like, yes. My wife was like, oh, hey, they pay me money. I'm like, they pay you money to get your ability to do it. That don't make this shit easy. Like, 7 months of doing that over and over and over again, even if you're not doing anything else, it's still 7 months. I'm doing push-ups, and I'm doing yoga, and I'm learning how to clean a shotgun over and over and over again. She said, you know, I broke a rib, and I had to hide it because I didn't want to get fired. And you think about that, and you see, like, she does that. Keanu does that. Tom Cruise. Like, I remember, it's funny when I remember the story talking about they delayed filming for like a month for the last Mission Impossible when he broke his ankle.
Yeah.
And then I remember watching the movie and saw exactly where he broke his ankle.
Yeah, when he jumps on the building, right?
Yeah, he jumps on the building, he misses. You see him land wrong. You see him limping while he's running. And I was like, we just brushed that aside. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I broke my ankle. I broke a leg.
Yeah.
That hurts. Like, that shit, that pain. I broke a leg. I'm running around with a broken rib. Y'all got to suck it in. That, and they just do it. And we just like, oh. I think it's because, like, we're so used to CGI that we kind of, like, ignore when, like, people actually train to do this stuff. It's, you kind of get numb to it. And I never want to get numb to it because that's just tough.
Yeah. The Tom Cruise thing, I also remember all the stunt guys being pissed off because they're like, that's our job. So now that you can't do it, none of us get paid right now. And that, to me, was eye-opening. Like, oh, wow.
That's why a lot of
something else.
Yeah, they got to wait.
That's – I never really thought of it that way. And I don't know. There was some other star calling him out. Like, you're an asshole. But as, like, a fan of the movies, I'm like, that's okay. Like, sorry, sucks for you, but yeah, it looks pretty cool. I'm still curious about Top Gun only because I want to know if he learned how to fly plane.
I wouldn't be surprised by any answer I got. If they said he did, but we wouldn't let him because of, you know, obvious reasons, we can't have him crashing our multi-million dollar planes for various reasons. Yeah, if they just like, you know what, he signed a waiver and it's good marketing and he flew it for a little bit. Because I'm like, it's difficult. I'm like, on one hand, it takes a lot of training to do something like flying a damn jet. But on the other hand, the man learned how to fly a helicopter just so I can do it so it looks good in the scene. Like, Tom Cruise is a maniac. And he has force of will. This like, if he had the ability to learn to do something, he's going to try to learn to do it. Because it's like, it looks, to be honest, he's right. It looks better when you know it's the person that's doing it is doing it. Because you watch old movies, certain movies, and you see like, even I watched Terminator 2. That scene when Arnold's jumping off the bridge when he's in the semi truck.
Yep.
You know it's not Arnold.
Yeah.
And after every time I watch, like, you know, this ain't Arnold. And it's kind of like, back then you accepted it because it's like, they're not going to have him do it. Now, Jackass is like The Rock, who even have stuff like, now we got real people doing this. Like, that messed up the old stuff. It's like, you know, so it's like, you know, Jackie Chan doesn't do that weird, wild shit anymore because he's just too damn old. But it's like, you know, when you see people actually do it, it's hard to see when people don't do it. Because it's not, and it's not even fair to the people that are like, I don't need them doing that. I don't want them getting hurt. Like, it's, I already know the movie's not real. It's a movie. But,
yeah.
I said, like, we've said it before. We talked about, like, once certain movies come out, and they raise the bar. You know how action's supposed to look. You can't watch trash. And I remember when The Raid and Dredd came out. And it's like, those movies messed, like, when The Matrix came out, it messed up a lot of stuff. When The Raid came out, it's like, oh, that old stuff they used to do. Like, I can't watch Charlie's Angels after watching The Raid.
Yeah.
No, like, yeah, I can't watch fake fighting after seeing better fake fighting. And we saw that, and then we noticed, like, Daredevil came and started doing this stuff. And then all of a sudden, S.H.I.E.L.D. starts stepping this stuff up. And then Arrow starts stepping this stuff up, where it's like, it get to a point where, oh, people get used to a certain thing. So we got, like, even like a Marvel movie. I remember, what was it? Civil War? It's a big, like, Civil War is, and Winter Soldier, especially Civil War, is a big difference in action compared to, like, their old Avengers movies, or, like, old Marvel movies. Because, like, oh, they got Black Widow doing MMA moves. Like, they got people that's actually, like, fighting. Not this whole, I'm just shooting a laser beam, I'm just punching somebody, and that's how the fight over. Where it's like, okay, our fans expect a certain level of excellence now, so we can't half-ass it.
Yeah. And I still wonder, well, what came out first, Daredevil or the movies? Or Civil War.
I know they got the John Wick people to help with Civil War.
Oh, that makes sense.
I remember reading that as like a fight coordinator. Because I remember it was like, you know, The Raid came out, and that's when stuff kind of started. And then we start getting like the Marvel TV shows. And then, like, it's like the Marvel TV show, like that Daredevil, you know, hallway fight scene, which became so much like they got to fight once a season in the hallway. Like, that was a thing. And then S.H.I.E.L.D. starts stepping their stuff up, and then Arrow starts stepping their stuff up. All around the same time, it's like, oh, people must be paying attention. Because now everybody's stepping their game up all around the same time. And then it leaked into the movies. So big-time movies start doing that. Because it's like, you know, I guess we can wrap up with this. Between, we always say it up. John Wick, Mission Impossible, and Fast and Furious. Between those three, you can't half-ass no more.
No.
If you're doing action. And especially like Fury Road, where it's like, even with all the CGI they're doing, half of that shit's, like, most of that shit's real, too.
Yes.
Like, when somebody's like, oh, yeah, we had to practice 20 times, but we did parachute the car out the plane.
I could not believe that when you sent that to me. Think of the insanity of that. You're throwing cars out of a plane so you can get them landing correct. What? I mean, I am not complaining, but that is just such a weird concept.
Like, because it's people who grew up that realize practical effects age well because it's practical.
Yep.
And it's always like, when you see a building blow up for real, it just looks better. And you know, and it just has a look that you cannot fake with a computer, no matter how much you try. Like, it's just the look and the sound. And it's like, if we can do it for real, why not do it for real? So they like, hey, why don't we do it for real? Tom Cruise, crazy ass, like, you know, what if I jump out of a plane? Like, I really did it. Ah, come on, Tom. We got an Apple. We got an iMac now. But it looked better in real life. He's like, all right, Tom. Like, you know, you need training for like 3 weeks. Cool. I don't got nothing else going on right now. Let's train for 3 weeks. And guess what? The scene looks awesome. And I laugh and talking about, oh, they could just, no, did he? I told my wife about it. She's like, And then she did, like, she's like, why would somebody do this maniac shit? I'm like, it's Tom Cruise. Especially the scene that don't even mean that much. You remember, which movie was it? Not the last one that came out, the one beforehand. When he's hanging on the side of the plane?
Yes. Yeah, why? They literally, yes. And they did it, what, 4 times?
Yeah. Just because, you know, it looks better if we do it for real.
I guess, yeah. I mean, you're right.
It does, but like...
Why?
The amount of stuff, like, you know, and it's kind of like, and the hilarious thing is, it's a lot of ego involved, but they take pride in their craft. And it helps, because, like, you see John Wick, and you see how he just load and reload, and everything is smooth and stuff. Like, that's Keanu Reeves.
Yes.
Like, Keanu Reeves is an action star and a martial artist, but he wasn't always no martial artist.
No, he was goddamn Bitler. Is he Ted?
Theodore Logan. Like, he was a dude. And even in The Matrix, it's like, yeah, it's funny. Like, let's start with The Matrix. We just ignore, oh yeah, him and Lawrence Fishburne and Carrie Ann Moss just spent 9 months training because they wanted the shit to look good. I'm like, old ass, this is a matter of fact, old ass Larry Fishburne, who was old when The Matrix came out, like, yeah, I spent half a year learning Kung Fu.
Man, John Wick, not to cut that off, but it just came to me when you said that. John Wick 4 is next year,
2021. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Do you know what a hard-on that's going to be when, like, I'm guessing those two team up? And to see those two, like, because you haven't seen Lawrence Fishburne do anything in those movies yet. So the idea that the two of them go nutso.
But what's more strange? The fact that we see them together in John Wick 4, or the fact that as of now, that comes out the same day as the next Matrix movie.
One of them has to move. That's stupidity.
They did it on purpose.
That's just
they
dumb.
Did that on. But here's the thing: do they?
Yeah, if you are, they all those companies, all those studios want the big box office weekend. Well, by doing that, neither of them are going to have the giant one that they want. They'll both have big ones, but
why not? Think about this. Normal 9 times out of 10, I would agree with you 100%, because it's like, you know, and normally a movie will move. They put that on the night. They put that date on there on purpose, and they both star the same person. And we all know that. And when it came out, people wasn't like, oh, one of them got to move. What would people say? I can't wait to see them both at the same day.
See, I was not one of those people.
Because you're looking at it from a conventional thought process. Like, you know, you got two big movies, and it's like, you know, I want to see one and let the other one breathe. These are not normal. This is not like a normal situation. These are like, they're big time cult movies. It's kind of like, you know, John Wick is this big thing now. John Wick is a big thing now. It wasn't a big thing when it first came out.
No.
And The Matrix is The Matrix. They both have Keanu Reeves in common, and Keanu Reeves being this big-time movie star again is like this whole amazing thing where it's like, at first you laughed at it, then it's like, wow. And now people just embrace it. So that fan base is going to be like, you know what? I'm going to see them both. I'll see one on Friday, one on Saturday.
All right. And saying that things don't change, has that ever been done? Where somebody with two franchises, big ones,
came out the same day? No, I've seen same year. I mean, I've seen like same year, or even like same. No, because even not the no, never the same day. Because it's like kind of like You wouldn't do that. But it's just different. The whole thing like this, if you're going to do it, this is the only time you do it. Because this is the only situation where it like makes sense, where it's like, you know, Keanu fans are Keanu fans. And it's two R-rated action, like it's two R-rated franchises, but one is like sci-fi. It's weird because it's kind of like The Matrix kind of birthed John Wick, even though they don't have a lot in common, but they do have plenty in common. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like the people who are working behind the scenes from The Matrix are responsible for John Wick. Keanu Reeves and both of them. They both changed action moves in their own way. I'm going to see them both. It's kind of like I'll see one Friday, I'll see one Saturday. Some maniacs are going to probably see both in the same day. One Thursday at 7 and the other one Thursday at 10.
I don't think I can pull that off with Elise, so.
Yeah. I would say under normal circumstances, I would agree with you. Like having them both come out at the same day seems like maniacal stuff. But I think in this one, it's kind of like, see them both. Have fun seeing them both.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to see both, even though I thought the last Matrix was trash. But I'm willing to forgive and see if they, you know, they learn their lessons. So we'll see. Because it's not the Wachowskis directing it, right?
No, one of them's directing it. No.
Oh, okay. Oh, see, I thought they were just producing with like a writer part. I didn't know.
No, it's just one of them doing it, not both.
Okay. So the track record hasn't been the greatest. So
I mean, but yeah, it's like kind of like the track. It's live and learn.
Yeah. Well, I know we said we were gonna wrap up, but I did want to talk about one other wrestling related item. You said you watched NXT.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think of the main event?
Good, but not great.
Yeah, I'm with you. Now,
yeah, I'm happy that Keith Lee won. It seemed kind of anticlimactic.
Okay,
not because the match was bad. It was just kind of like how the ending was. Like, you know, you see the interference. Roderick hits a move. Keith Lee kicks out, and then Keith Lee hits his move, and that's it.
Yes, I'm with you. Okay, well, I guess we don't have much to talk about then.
Yeah, it's like
because that was my thing. Like. His finisher's always kind of goofy anyways. Like, for a dude that big, it's kind of like Strowman having the power slam is his finisher.
But on the other hand, it's kind of like you got this big-ass man laying on you.
Yeah, and I know, yeah.
It's kind of like, on one hand, like you were so used to these wrestling finishers where, like, that seemed kind of, like, quaint. But then it's kind of like he's a big-ass man landing on you, like, that would be Roderick Strong. As strong as he is, it's not that he's strong. He ain't Roderick big.
Yeah.
He ain't Roderick large. So I was just always wondering, kind of like, that was going to be a goofy match anyway, where the size is just so much. Like, you got to have outside interference. That's the only way Keith Lee loses.
Well, they were doing a very good job, though. Of, you know, because they even, like, and this is, all right, this is why I watched NXT. And to be honest, I've actually started getting into AEW finally. They've been cutting down on the stupid shit. Like that Nightmare Collective stuff, they didn't even mention it this week. And they actually had like two good women's matches. So I was like, okay, maybe they finally figured this stuff out. And like on NXT, like they had the story. Like it was exactly what you said. He's Roderick Strong, not super strong. So he couldn't, usually he like does all the backbreakers and all that. Well, this time he went after the knee and the ankle. And he worked it the whole time. It was like, that's very smart, and that's not something you usually see. The announcers pointed it out, and in the end, like it had, maybe that was why, like the power slam or I don't even remember what his move's called. Whatever his finisher's called, maybe that's why it was so goofy. He was trying to sell because he couldn't get the torque that he usually does. But no, I thought it was anticlimactic, and then also, part of that is, it seemed like he should have been the one going after Adam Cole, not Roderick Strong. Because he pounced him in the crowd, he was all over his case, and I know they're saving it for Ciampa, but it just seemed like he got the wrong title.
I don't mind. I mean, because it's kind of like, I was thinking more like if he didn't win, then he don't need to be NXT anymore.
No. No, you're exactly
yeah,
right.
Yeah, because it's kind of like NXT is this weird place where they got a lot of... Because it's like, you know, Shayna Baszler being an afterthought, this seems funny. Because I'm just used to her being the champ and like, oh, she's on there wrestling. She's not even the champ and she's not even getting a rematch right now. It's like, it took time getting used to.
Looks weird.
Well, I mean, I'm not mad at it. It just took time getting used to. And then Riddle... That tag team, I'm sorry. That I know it's kind of like, you know, the opposites and like that. I always like, it's like, that tag team's insane. Because it's one, they're two completely different people. And they both wrestle their ass off in different ways. And it's kind of like, they're close to the same size. Even though they just look like two different shaped bodies.
Yes.
So and it works.
I can't believe that he's still getting away with pot jokes. Because when he said joint manipulation, bro,
I heard something about manipulating the joint, man. It's like that. Like, he's making these jokes about weed and...
And Pete Dunne wasn't mad about it.
Yeah,
Pete Dunne was like, while you were in the clouds, he went in just like, oh, yeah, I know who I'm dealing with. Like, okay.
People who never beat me. So, and it's kind of like, when they put the team together, I'm like, that's weird.
Mm-hmm.
But it worked. So, they have great matches. They work well together. They get used well. So I'm there for that. And I can't not talk about NXT. That slap that Walter gave Adam Cole, I screamed out loud. I was like, damn.
Okay.
Like, you know, you see something.
Real quick, did you see the NXT NXT UK where Walter slapped that jobber?
No.
Okay. I wasn't overly familiar with Walter or Walter, whatever they're supposed to be calling him. He slapped the shit out of this guy. And as soon as he hit, there were already broken blood vessels and welts. And they came out with a shirt the next week. They already had a shirt for it. Because the guy had not only the entire handprint on his chest, the forearm came down like diagonal. That's how hard he hit that guy. That it lasted, it was there the entire match. And I'm like, it's never going to get worse than that. Well, wow. Give Adam Cole credit, man. He took it and then did a flip as well. Like
between that and that sell he did with Chief Lee pouncing him into the ring, like, Adam Cole is the world greatest stunt dummy right now. Because I'm watching it and he hit him and I heard it first.
Uh-huh.
I was like, and I don't like scream and shout when I watch wrestling that much unless something like that happened. And did, I was like, damn, like I said it loud because it's out of nowhere. And I was like, ooh, I hope we got a raise. Like, that couldn't be me.
Well, yeah, he got some raised skin.
Yeah, because I'm like, that just looks, yeah, that whole, you know, wrestling is wrestling. And sometimes they really hit you. And Walter, and it's like, I heard about Walter for years. And then I saw him like, he looked tough, but I'm like, I don't know if WWE going to let him be that. Like, he's like a guy Van Damme used to fight in the 90s.
Well,
that's my first thought. And then I just have him see matches. And it's like a lot of people like, this big doughy guy, like, he's the big guy. I'm like, he just beats you up.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, if William Regal was big, that's what Walter is. Like, Walter is this big guy. And it helps where... Like, he can stand toe-to-toe with other big guys, but it helps where most of the time he's fighting guys a lot smaller than him. So he just gets to be a big-ass bully. And like, I'll just kick you in your chest, or I'll just slap the shit out of you. Yeah. Like, I don't got to do no extra stuff. I'm just going to punch you.
Well, that's what was funny, the Joe Coffey match. Coffey kept coming back, and finally he, like, had enough of something. And the way it's the way he just moves in the ring, too. It almost seems like he's, like, legit annoyed. So if something's not going his way, he just smacks the shit out of you, and you fall to the ground. That's what he kept doing to Joe Coffey. I was like, Jesus Christ, man. That's got to suck. That's got to suck. I mean, no one likes getting punched, but you're like, oh, you're just getting slapped in the chest. Nah, this is otherworldly. That just, it looks like it just takes your soul out.
Yes,
But I'm looking forward to Worlds Collide, because there are some idiotic matches on there. That, like, I shouldn't do this, but like Meltzer was talking about how there's probably only gonna be one standout match on there, and I'm like, that's impossible. It's just not possible.
Yeah, like, because between Imperium and Undisputed Era, like Rhea Ripley and Toni Storm, that's two right there.
And then the one that I think clearly is going to steal the show is DIY and Mustache Mountain.
Oh,
I mean, yeah,
they get in 25 minutes, they're going to be like, oh, I can't believe we slept on this match. I'm like, how?
I'll be honest, I didn't listen to what match it was. I just got turned off by the headline of the video.
It's just kind of like they're going to get time, first of all. And like that tag match, they're all known for having great matches.
Yes.
Especially damn Tyler Bate and Johnny Gargano. It's like, yeah, that's their whole thing. I'm just a big, strong boy. I get five-star matches that Meltzer would say is eight-star matches. And you're trying to say that, oh, that's going to be all right. You think Imperium and Undisputed Era is going to be boring? Like, come on now.
Well, and don't sleep on Finn Balor and Ilya Dragunov.
I forgot about that one.
Yeah. And is that it? There's got to be something else. That seems, four matches seems very small.
They normally have five for those type of shows, but it's kind of like you're going to give them time. You don't need that four be enough.
Yeah, the pre-show is Kaylee Ray and Mia Yim. So that's pretty cool. But I don't know what else would be on there.
I do laugh at Bianca Belair jumping Toni Storm just to make sure that she's not the one to take the title because she wants to get it at TakeOver.
Yeah, yes. I was wondering how they were getting out of that. I'm like, they're not going to have Io Shirai lose or have Toni Storm lose. And I didn't see that coming. So I was like,
yeah. Right. That's cool. A whole weird thing where people are talking about, you know, nobody wanted Bianca Belair to win. It's like, Rhea Ripley not losing the belt, and nobody want to see Io Shirai lose.
Nope.
To
anyone,
because anybody. It's like, that's the funny thing where everybody wanted Rhea Ripley to have the belt, but more people want Io Shirai to have the belt. And well, I think people are kind of like, and Io's kind of like, either need to give me a belt or put on the main roster, or I'm leaving.
Yeah, that's. Well, and
pay me.
That sucks. I hope that's not true. Because they haven't scratched the surface with her.
They need to stop being cheap just because they think, oh, these Japanese women, like, blah, blah, blah. New Japan get in the women wrestling business, and they ready to pay. And Stardom already, like, you know what, y'all contract's up, give us a call first. We got a check ready.
Yeah, and also her boyfriend or fiance lives over there, too.
Yeah, it's so. Like, stop. WWE does not need to be cheap. And they obviously aren't being cheap with certain people because you hear them bragging about, oh, I signed a 5-year deal. I'm a millionaire. And like, you know, hearing Becky Lynch breaking seven figures, God bless her. I'm glad they're doing that. You hear Sasha Banks brag about how much money she's making and everybody else starting to sign these 5-year deals. Stop being cheap with these NXT people.
They could get away with it for a while. And now
they can't get away with it anymore. And it's kind of like it's new people in town. And if you... Either New Japan gonna throw the money through Stardom, or you don't think AEW would pay Io Shirai whatever she wanted? Because they need women, and it's kind of like, and right now I don't think they ain't touching Tessa Blanchard with a 10-foot pole. So
what?
I guess we
brought it up on Stunt Granny, and I just went, she's like taking the joking approach. Yeah, you don't apologize by telling everybody how strong you are. You know what I mean? You do something wrong, and she's like, this won't wear me down because I'm mentally strong. Like, Tessa, that's not how you do this.
This is all I have to say, and we can wrap up. We've been talking about hour and a half. Yeah. The funny thing is, everybody was saying, oh, that she didn't do it. She never said she didn't do it.
Exactly. Yes.
She's always like, oh, we're human, and you did it too, and you ain't going to break me. I'm like, this is a shitty-ass apology. Like, all she had to do was just say, do like Triple H did, because he's like, you know what? I made a joke. It was uncalled for. I'm sorry, and I apologize. And you know that joke about Paige. Yeah. And that was it. He apologized. It was done. He ain't trying to justify it. He ain't trying to immediately, like, you know, I made a joke. It was a wrong joke. I'm sorry. I apologize. You trying to tell me Triple H can do that? Tessa, I'm like, oh, well, you know, I never bullied you. So I'm not, I never bullied nobody. It's kind of like, oh, you know, people to use language they don't mean, but Martin Luther King said you should hug each other and, like, you know, you make a mistake. Like, spitting on somebody and calling them the N-word is not, you know, something you do by accident. Like, what if she got Tourette's? Like, come on now. Like, what are we talking about? And yeah. And then the people trying to defend her, oh, you never did that before. No, I never did that before. So, sorry, Moose, that you doing that. And, like, it was just a shame because a lot of stuff makes sense now. Yes. We always wonder, why didn't WWE sign her? Because you heard some stuff like, oh, it's some stuff. People don't, like, Ricochet never talked about it, but, like, they broke up. And you heard whispers. You never heard why. And then you pay attention. Tessa Blanchard doing all this stuff. How many women out there like, I can't wait for Tessa Blanchard to make history? You see that much on, like, you never hear a lot of women support for her. It's always dudes. And you always hear news like, oh, I'm strong-willed, and sometimes this happens, but I'm a Blanchard, and Magnum TA raised me to be strong. I ain't going to let the haters hate, anything like that. And I'm like, it's somebody that worked in WWE that's a daughter of a horseman that has that look, that's young. And WWE was like, eh. And we always wondered that. Like, it has to be something, because there's no way in the world it's just going to be like, because even us to sign her, so somebody else doesn't sign her. And even then, they was like, I'll be all right.
And you know it's bad when somebody named Jim Cornette, even he was like, what are you doing? Like, he thought the same thing. So that to me was eye-opening, because he's usually, you know, sticking up everything. You know?
Social justice warriors need to calm down. Yeah. We all human. Yeah, it's kind of like, no, this is one of those things where, and it just came out the wrong time. And not only the fact that it came out, it's, you know, apologize and don't say nothing and keep it moving. And instead, it's like, you know, I'm going to fake defend myself by kind of saying I didn't do it, or try to see if I could get dirt on somebody else. Like, everything she did just made it worse, and she just kept digging a bigger hole. Yeah. So, like, you know, she won. She's the Impact champion. Is anybody talking about that? Nope. Is anybody talking about, you know, that should be a big deal that a woman is, like, has the main title in one of, like, the big time wrestling promotions in the United States. And either no one is talking about that, or all is kind of like, it's just overshadowed by all the other stuff in this. And she kind of brought it on herself.
Yeah. Well, okay. Yeah, she brought it on herself by her behavior. And then she brought it on, I mean, by tweeting that out. And boy, Allison Kay doesn't give a shit about anything. Boy, she'll get up in your face about whatever. So I kind of admire it. And she even said, yeah, I've made mistakes, but I immediately apologized for it back then. And then I tried not to act the way you did. And then the one that got me was Chelsea Green. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't think a WWE-related person would do that. Yeah. Not say she's wrong or right, but, you know.
And that's why I laugh when we're talking about, oh, she just clout chasing. She don't need to – I just saw her on Raw a month ago. She don't need to clout chase for no Tessa Blanchard. Like, what are we talking about?
She's
like,
about to get a giant push in NXT. You think she needs this?
Yeah. Yeah, like, she's already in the big leagues. She gonna be just fine. Yeah. She probably, you know, like, she could have just, like, ignored it and not say anything. The fact that she said something where, like, saying something could have, like, caused issues and she didn't give a damn was, like, eye-opening. And then all it takes is one, because a lot of times it's like, you know what, I don't want to say nothing, but then she just pissed me off. It's like, nah, I can't let you get away with this. And then one person, it's like, yeah, remember this, and this. And the people talking about, oh, you're the only person saying it. And then, like, five other women, like, no, we all said it. Y'all didn't listen. Is what a lot of it came. Like, we complained, and y'all tried to fire me. So, I always, like, this is why women, this is the purpose I'm wrapping up. Yeah. This is why women come out and say this, because it's like, when they do, people are like, you lying. Then why bother? Like, you do that, you can lose your damn job, but nothing changed. And that's why it's like, you know, I'm going to keep my mouth shut. So I have kudos to all the ones who didn't. And just stop doing this, because this shit, it always comes out. If you did some stuff, don't brag about it. Or if it come out, I'm sorry, I ain't doing it again. Keep it moving. Be just fine. Yep. That's all you got to do. That's it. Like, I'm sorry. Don't be all mealy mouth. If for anyone, if you might have been offended, then I might apologize. And like, no, I did it. I shouldn't have did it. I'm sorry. I hope I learned from it. That's it. That's it. That's all you got to do. Just be smart. But instead, it's like, you know, one of her daddies need to tell her to, like, stop acting the fuck up. I don't know which one is going to be. If it's going to be Magnum or Tully. But one of them need to be like, you know what? You making us look bad.
You think it'd be Tully?
One of them. Like, I don't know. It. Hey, Dusty Rose told us never to trust the damn Blanchards. We should have listened to him.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, yeah, good call. All right, gang. Let's get out of here. Sunk right into all social media, all that good stuff. Thanks for listening, and we'll be talking to you next week.
For Jeremy Reyes, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi, and if you mess up, just say you're sorry. We're all out.